The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Ro. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Ro. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Ro. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hey, it's another edition of Sal Sports Live, also the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. Thanks a lot if you're joining me on the live show right now on my stream over Twitter at Sal Sports, Facebook Sal Sports, and on my YouTube channel. That's Coach Sal C. I've never changed it from many years ago, so that's okay. We'll just keep it that way, but that's how we watch and that's how we listen here on every Thursday night at 7:30. And then, of course, if you're listening on the podcast, because the audio gets turned right around into the podcast, and that's what we do every week to give you a preview of the upcoming Buffalo Bills game. So thanks for joining me live. It is a monster edition of the program because we had a lot to talk about in this short half hour. And that is, of course, the Bills and the Patriots getting rolling in Orchard Park Sunday at 1 p.m. And here, as this sideline reporter will tell you, the wind is going to be crazy. The weather is going to be outrageous. I hate it from that standpoint, but of course, I'd still rather be down there and broadcasting the game as part of the Bills radio network than not doing that. But it's going to be gusts of wind, possibly over 40 miles an hour, a constant wind of 20 to 25 miles an hour. Rain is in the forecast, snow after the game. And then, of course, Saturday's going to be fine and Monday's going to be fine, but it's all going to be about Sunday and it's all going to be about horrible weather for the Bills and the Patriots. What does that mean? Both these teams are going to have their big boy pants on to play big boy football. A run game is going to be a huge, huge advantage if you can get it going against either team. And I think the Patriots have really done a good job of their power run game this year that I think they're going to go right at the Bills. I would not be surprised if the New England Patriots run the ball 50 times against the Bills on Sunday, especially without Julian Edelman, who just had surgery today, and possibly without N'Keal Harry, who is in concussion protocol. So we're going to talk about all of that with my first guest in just a minute. Evan Lazar, will bring him on from over in Boston. But then Josh Reed from Channel 4 here in Buffalo, WIVB sports director and the CBS affiliate, also from Buffalo Kickoff Live, which you see me on every Sunday on the pregame. We're going to talk about the Bills and get to a little bit about his Brownies. He's a Browns fan. He grew up in Cleveland, so that's okay. But we're going to talk Bills, Patriots, get in depth about the NFL. So we'll do all of that here tonight. We don't have a lot of time to do it, so let's not waste any time, and let's bring in Evan Lazar. Evan, I hope I'm saying your name right. I think I am, but let me know.
You got it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. All right, Evan, so let's get into this so far. Evan Lazar joining me, by the way. He is the Patriots Beat podcast. You can see it right there. You can follow him on Twitter, at EZ Lazar. Let's talk about the injuries. That is the first and foremost news. And, of course, the news came down today about Julian Edelman and his knee surgery. What's going on there?
Yeah, so Edelman's been dealing with this knee issue that is described as bone on bone at this point. And I would think that for the rest of his football career is going to be something that he's going to have to deal with year in and year out. And I think the biggest thing with Edelman's injury is that, you know, maybe over the last couple of games, it definitely hasn't been the same Julian Edelman that Bills fans and Patriots fans are used to seeing. So they've actually kind of taken aback a lot of the reins there with Edelman. He's only playing about 60% of the snaps this year, which is obviously way down because he's dealing with this knee issue. And over the last few games, Jakobi Meyers, their undrafted rookie wide receiver that they picked up last year, is starting to play a little bit more in the slot each week as he takes that load off of Edelman. So this is a kind of been in the making. Everybody up here has been kind of scratching their heads, you know, what's wrong with Julian Edelman? And this news came down today and it kind of made sense.
And what about N'Keal Harry now? I mean, he's been in concussion protocol for a couple of days, two missed practices. That's not trending in the right direction.
It is not. And if you don't practice on Friday in New England or by Friday in New England, you hardly ever play in the game on Sunday because you're not in the game plan. So it's a long shot for N'Keal Harry to play in this game if he's not out there at practice tomorrow. I was told they're taking it day by day with him. He's in concussion protocol, and he does have a little bit of a history of concussions in his preteens, early teens, from middle school to high school actually caused him to quit football for a few years, but all the way back then. Now, it hasn't been an issue recently, so I'm not sure how much. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know if that really plays a factor 10 years later, but we're still in that concussion protocol right now with N'Keal Harry, and I would say it's not looking good.
You know, the Bills have a similar situation with Micah Hyde. He was involved in a really serious collision, a big-time hit against Breshad Perriman on Sunday. Now, he's been in concussion protocol this week. He hasn't been out there. I don't know how much the safeties are going to factor in this game because of the weather, to be quite honest, but I do know that Stephon Gilmore is a big part of the defense, and there's been a lot of talk about Stephon Gilmore surrounding him this week, trade rumors and things like that, reportedly put his house on the market. I even saw something where in the listing it said all offers have to be in by 5 p.m., which is pretty incredible. That's a trade deadline. Suddenly, he appears on the injury report today as limited with a knee. Can we read into anything on either side, like Stephon saying, hey, I'm going to back off here, or even the Patriots maybe wanting to do that to make sure they keep his market value up?
Yeah, you know, earlier on this season back in training camp, there was some contract disputes between the Patriots and Stephon Gilmore that ended up with that advance in money. You can call it a raise, you can call it an advance, whatever. $5 is his dollar a little bit in the market, in the cornerback market. Stephon Gilmore, when he was negotiating that little ploy with the Patriots, actually skipped a couple of training camp practices early on, non-voluntary workouts, things you have to be at. And he played his cards and he was able to get the money out of Bill. So then when it popped up today with the knee injury, you know, it does make you think a little bit back to that time when Gilmore did sit out a few practices as sort of, I wouldn't call it a holdout, but, you know, a mini holdout. And you wonder if this knee issue is something about his name being in trade rumors or whatever. You don't ever want to think a guy is making up an injury or anything like that, but it's not out of the realm of possibility given what we've seen here so far this year out of Gilmore, where these two sides clearly sound like they're heading for a divorce, whether it's at this deadline or next offseason, but it's going to be before Gilmore's contract is up in New England.
And what about from the Patriots side? Is it possible they want to preserve his market value and don't want to put him on the field, so maybe they would be the ones to back off here?
It's definitely possible. You know, they last I had heard, it was maybe like a second and a fifth. I know Albert Breer reported that as well someplace else. You know, a second and a fifth for Gilmore is about the asking price or about the market. They used that deal with the Lions and Darius Slay in Philadelphia as sort of a barometer of what exactly that deal might look like. And that's what the Patriots are kind of looking for right now out of Gilmore. And if they can get somebody to bite it, it sounds like he will be on the move.
All right, we're talking with Evan Lazar, by the way. You can see his Twitter handle there. You can follow him there, Patriots Beat Podcast. Evan comes to us from CLNS Media over in the New England area. Talking Patriots, Bills, and Cam Newton and Josh Allen, of course, a storyline in this game for different reasons. Josh playing an MVP-type level for 4 weeks has kind of regressed, but I don't think he's played all that badly compared to what some people are telling you he's played, just looking at the stats and box score. But let's talk about Cam Newton from your side, because he clearly has had his struggles the last couple of weeks, Evan. What's going on there?
It's so disappointing because he was off to such a great start. And at this point, Cam Newton, I think we can safely say, is pretty much broken mechanically. His footwork, the way that he's throwing the football, the way that he's stepping into his throws is all off. And his shoulders are starting to fly up again and just do things that the Patriots really tried to drill out of him. Even Carolina over the last couple of years after the shoulder injuries, they've really tried to drill out of him those types of poor mechanics that put all the stress on his arm and on his shoulder to make those throws. And unfortunately, due to the layoff when he contracted the coronavirus, his mechanics regressed all the way back to what they were before, and all that buildup and all that work and now that foundation that McDaniels and quarterbacks coach Jed Fish laid over the last, you know, couple of months just kind of disappeared and evaporated. And now he's kind of got the yips like a golfer. You know, he's just broken, especially his lower body. So I think this week for the Patriots, you know, a lot of weeks they kind of morph their game plan to the opponent and they do things that the Bills might not be necessarily good at defending based off the tape. But I feel like this week, if they are able to pass the ball at all in this weather, that they need to get back to what Cam Newton does well and focus inward on themselves and kind of what can we execute and what are we good at as a passing offense, rather than worrying about what kind of coverages Buffalo is playing or whatever the case may be.
And on that note, as I said to open the show, I would not be surprised if the New England Patriots run the ball 50 times against the Bills. I think the Chiefs ran about 40-something times because the Bills were daring them to. So yeah. In this case, it might just be because this is what they figure their best game plan is to beat the Buffalo Bills. So let's say they do that. What about the offensive line? Now, they've had some injuries here or there, some guys shuffled in and out. How equipped is this offensive line to really bully the Buffalo Bills if they want to?
Yeah, Neil, well, this offensive line is as healthy as it's been in a couple of weeks, but the interior three is really the rock of the entire Patriots offense. They're the tone setters. David Andrews at center, Joe Tooney at left guard, and Shaq Mason at right guard. Three guys that Tooney's on the franchise tag. Mason and Andrews are both on their second contracts in New England. That's kind of the heart and soul of the Patriots right there, is those three. So they're back intact, with really big for the Patriots. Rookie right tackle Micah Onwenu, who's about 340 pounds of a bulldozing run blocker on the right side next to Mason. Those two guys really work together in tandem extremely well, because both of them can really run block. And then left tackle Isaiah Wynn's obviously a first round pick, former Georgia guy. They're really good up front when they're healthy and when they're whole and everybody's sort of clicking and where they're supposed to be on that line. And they got it all the way back last week, but that game just was a disaster for New England from the start. So hopefully this week they can get back to that sort of week one. We call it bully ball up here, where yeah, they're just, you know, kind of running it 45 times a game and Cam right down your throat some of the time as well. And that's been really effective for them when they can get into that sort of game.
Well, that's exactly what Todd asked. As you can see on your screen, Evan, do you see them running Newton more than usual in this game?
I think that they have to, because honestly, the season's on the line in this game. If they drop to 2-5 and they lose another one in the division, or lose their first one, but want the Buffalo in the division, then I don't know if they're going to come back in the AFC East as any sort of realistic expectation for the team. So Newton ran the ball 14 times in week one. He's run it nowhere near as much as since. The teams have adapted a little bit to some of the things that they were doing schematically to involve Cam as a runner. And I think some of that has led the Patriots away from those types of things. But again, like I said about their passing game, I truly feel like this week is, you know, what is Cam Newton good at? We don't have Tom Brady anymore, so we can't be, you know, spread five out and have him read the field 1-2-3 and get the ball out quickly. That's not really their offense anymore. It can't be their offense. So they're going to have to run Cam more. They're going to have to run the ball at will in this game to be able to keep this game close.
Evan Lazar joining us, Bills, Patriots. It'll be a windy, rainy day Sunday in Orchard Park. Let's move on to the state of the franchise. Actually, before I do that, I do have a question about the defense. One thing that's been coming up that I've noticed as well, just seems like they're slower than what I'm used to watch New England. It looked like the Niners got the edge on them, maybe in coverage or linebackers. And I know they've been decimated by opt-outs, injuries, things like that. Is that what you're seeing as well? Or are they just not the same defense as far as the speed and able to get to the edge and cover?
Well, the only way that they can put speed on the field is if they put more defensive backs on the field. So what they've been doing recently, especially this year in certain matchups, and this is, I think, probably where this game is going to be won or lost, is if Brian Daboll goes a little bit heavier in this game with maybe two tight ends or something like that to get the Patriots out of their dime defense. When the Patriots are in dime with six DBs on the field, they put Adrian Phillips in the box. They put rookie Kyle Duggar in the box, sometimes at linebacker spots, and they're able to flow to the ball and play great coverage and really be a good defense. What San Francisco did was they put a fullback Juszczyk obviously on the field, and the Patriots had to adapt and go to base defense. And that's when you get Juwan Bentley and Anfernee Jennings and some of their weaker linebackers in the mix. And that's what the Niners did. They ran short passes and jet motions and everything behind the line of scrimmage that they could think of at those Patriots linebackers, and they just couldn't cover sideline to sideline.
Evan, let's talk about the state of the franchise, because obviously they're in transition. We all know that. We all see that. And I've been trying to explain to people all week that this game is much different from the Bills side than the Patriots side. In fact, so much that Patriots fans don't understand what this game means to Bills fans over 20 years of the domination that this team has had over us here in Western New York. And to be able to maybe beat them and to possibly push them down to where they would be in the standings and the Bills up, and then maybe a path to the AFC East for the first time in 1995. It's not about one game, but it's about what this one game might represent for the two organizations. Where do you see the organization as far as their state of going up or going down? How much does this game maybe impact what they do with that? And then even like long-term, like what is the state of the organization and where they are right now?
I think the Patriots are in rebuild mode at this point. And even if they win this game on Sunday, I'm concerned personally that it's a little bit of fool's gold. You know, they're going to beat Buffalo. They're going to think they're back in the mix, and maybe they don't trade Gilmore, or maybe they don't move on from some veteran players. They have cap space next year, and they already have a good amount of picks. If they move or tune Gilmore, some of the veteran players, and sell off some pieces, Bill Belichick's going to have a war chest of assets next offseason to rebuild this team. So, yeah, it might lead to a bad season this year in New England, but at least, you know, for the future, they'll be built up. And if they do have a bad year, maybe they have a high pick where they can draft a quarterback or something like that. So this is a much different – I'm sure you're kind of shocked, a lot of people listening to me say that the Patriots might pick in the top 10 and they could actually be rebuilding. But I feel like at this point, that might actually be the best ad for this, because they have more than – but make about the wide receivers and the weapons. They have more holes than just that. They need help in the front seven on defense. They need weapons at wide receiver. They really don't know what the future holds at quarterback. It's definitely an up in the air situation right now.
How are the fans handling everything? Because literally they've been living in football utopia for 20 years. It's just not normal. It's not normal to have the success that the New England Patriots have had. And Obviously with the Bruins success and the Celtics success and the Red Sox success for the better part of 20 years, they've been pretty spoiled over there in Boston. You know, obviously haven't gone through that in Buffalo. We went through the Super Bowl years. We went through the run. And I will tell you, Evan, as someone who went through all of that, it was really hard for people to even let go. Even though it was four Super Bowl losses, it was very hard for people to understand that the Kelly, Thurman, Andre, Bruce era was over when it was finally over. How are the fans handling it?
Not well. I mean, they put it blankly, because honestly, I think it's twofold. One of it is what's going on down in Tampa Bay right now is just, I can tell, eating Patriots fans out from the inside. Not only Brady, but also Gronk is starting to kind of look like the old Gronk a little bit too. So you have both of those guys starting to play really well for Tampa, and you're thinking, you know, why aren't they still here doing that for the Patriots? And secondly, I think Bill Belichick's failures in recent years to draft talent at the skill positions in particular. N'Keal Harry has taken a ton of heat. Belichick has taken a ton of heat for not being able to add skill players and add wide receiver help and tight end help specifically. So if it wasn't Bill Belichick and he didn't have six Super Bowl rings on, he would be on the hot seat here in Boston.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Evan, really good job. Thank you for doing this. I like following you on Twitter. I just did. I've seen your stuff around, but finally hit that follow button for once, and everybody else should do the same thing. Easy. Lazar. That's Evan Lazar. Enjoy the game in the comfort of warmth, I guess, because I'm going to have to be bundled up there down in the moat. But, you know, it's going to be a fun game on Sunday. Really, thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I've been a fan for a long time, so it meant a lot.
Thank you, Evan. I appreciate that a lot. And enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too.
Okay, that is Evan Lazar joining us here on the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. We're going to go right to Josh Reed, Channel 4, WIVB. Sports director here in Buffalo. Also, you can see me with Josh on Buffalo Kickoff Live. I even brought my hat. I'm going to put that on for you here while we do the show a little bit here. I brought my hat, Buffalo Kickoff Live right there. Josh, first of all, thanks for doing this, man. This is really cool that you were able to get a chance away from the baby. I know you got a newborn there. So how's everything going with Kenneth?
Yeah, everything's great. He's quite the sleeper. So he's been down since about 6:30, and he'll get up about 6:30 in the morning. We're pretty blessed that he crashes for about 12 hours straight every night, so we're pretty lucky. I heard Evan say that he's a big fan of yours. He's not a bigger fan than I am. I'm a bigger fan.
See, I appreciate that.
Hey, you know what's nice? We finally get to talk without a plastic divider in between us, yet we're still not face-to-face.
I know, right? I know. It's like we got to have these computers and these webcams and things like that. All right, so let's talk about this this game on Sunday, because, look, I mean – I know you haven't been in Buffalo for all that long, right? You've been here, what, 4 years now, right?
I think it's been 4 years. This is my sixth Bills season.
Oh my God.
I was Yeah, I know, right? It goes by quick. I was here for both of Rex's years and then all four of Sean's. So just over five total, like the calendar, but six football seasons.
Okay, well, you've been here long enough to know what the Patriots' domination to the Bills has meant to not only the organization on the field, but the psyche of the fan base. And look, I mean, you grew up in Cleveland, a Browns fan, or, you know, in Ohio, a Browns fan, and you know what it's kind of like to be that team that's always seems to not be able to get over the hump for whatever reason. And here in this case, there's specifically one team that's not allowed the Bills to get over that hump, it seems like, even if the Patriots weren't in the division, the Bills wouldn't have been that good in a lot of the years, but that's what this team represents. So just from an outsider who hasn't been here that as long, but has now seen it, what do you think the impact of this game is here on the organization and fan base?
Well, this is everything. And you know, the players and coaches have said all the right things. You know, it's a big game because it's the next game on the schedule. We hear it. You know, in ways, Sean, when he speaks, you can hear some of the Bill Belichick answers come out. You know, he says all the right things. He never wants to give anybody even a chance to have something at bulletin board material. Like, that's never going to happen with him. But I mean, if not now, when, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is it. I mean, I thought your extra point show the other day, when your lead into that show, I thought was hit it right on the head. I mean, this is what two decades, here's the chance to cleanse the soul. Yeah. Like, this is what all Buffalo Bills fans have been waiting for, what seems like forever. We've seen quarterback after quarterback come and go, and this next guy is going to be the one that beats the Patriots, and the next coach is going to be the one that beats the Patriots, and it never happened. And now you're sitting in a spot where the Bills are a favorite. You know, they have the better record. The Patriots are chasing the Bills, and I'm not talking one game behind the Bills. I'm talking Bills have a chance to really, you know, drive a nail in that coffin, you know, of
the word Patriots. I used was bury them. And look, as I did the show and I said bury them, and Patriots fans got upset and thought that means erase what they've done. It does not erase it. We know that. Like, that's always a part of history. We know that the Patriots will have this dynasty. But I think what's going to happen, Josh, is if the Bills can finally do this, it's finally actually feels like you can put them in the rearview mirror. Like, okay, it's there. We see it, but we're going past it. We're moving forward now. And that's what we've been waiting for here.
Yeah, the Bills can't change yesterday or the last 20 years. What they can change is Sunday and going forward. You know, the history's been written. That's not going anywhere. There's no eraser that's taking that. I mean, look, we all know the Deflategate stuff. We all know the Spygate stuff. And we know all that. And sure, does it put a little blemish on what they were able to do? Yeah, a little bit. But at the end of the day, we all still know that what they did was hoist Lombardi trophy after trophy. Every time we thought we'd seen the last of Tom Brady, he would just resurrect himself and just all of a sudden they'd be back in the Super Bowl. This is it, man. This is their chance to, like you said, put a shovel full of dirt on top of the Patriots.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you got to do it, though. You got to do it. And to your point about where they'd be in the standings, to be 3.5 games up in after week 8 is just a monster to overcome. Plus, they'd be 4-0 in the division. You know, and then Miami with Tua going in, I don't think people expect them to keep pace, even if he is pretty good. You know, so the Bills can really kind of distance themselves here and kind of be in the driver's seat. That's what this game represents. And it's always different. When you're the bully, it's not a rival to you, right? Think of college teams who, that's such a rival. And one's like, no, we beat you all the time. That's not a rival, right? So I don't expect Patriots fans to understand what this game means, but I do expect them to ultimately understand that, you know, maybe not right now, but that part of their life is over. And as I just said to Evan, they've been living in football utopia for 20 years, and they don't know yet what it's like not to have that.
Here's a good – when I heard a media member from Boston tell me this week, I went, Bills fans are going to love to hear this. And I haven't told you this yet, but you're going to love this.
Okay.
His comment was, if they lose to the Bills this week, Bill Belichick, if he can get this team to 8-8, it will be one of his best coaching jobs ever. Now, it took me a while, and I thought, okay, yeah, that would be pretty good because this team's not that talented. So if they can get to 8-8 and fight, have a chance at that last playoff spot. And then I stepped back and thought, we're talking about the Patriots being good with finishing 8-8. Like being like, okay, hey, like the media that covers the team going, hey, you know what? Bill did a great job and they're 8-8. Like, what world are we living in? 2020, you finally have delivered something for Buffalo. 2020, you finally did it.
Oh my God. I know, it's amazing. And of course, you know, we're monitoring the injury situations. They're not going to have Edelman. They're probably not going to have N'Keal Harry the way it's looking right now. The Bills look like they're going to have John Brown, but they might not have a couple of defensive linemen, Vernon Butler, Quentin Jefferson. They haven't practiced this week. We'll see where that goes. But you know, as much as it, I would tell you this, Josh, if this game was in a dome, I'm picking the Bills all day. Right. I mean, but the weather is going to be the equalizer. Do you think the Bills can still be able to overcome the Patriots, given the Patriots, you know, are going to big boy football them?
Yeah. I mean, our weather department says there's going to be gusts up to 40 miles an hour and constant 15 to 20 the entire game. I know, like, as listening to the Bills fans talk and Bills Mafia talk, it's that constant, when does the other shoe drop?
Right.
When does Corey Bohorquez drop back and punt a ball that goes negative 10 yards because of the wind, and the Patriots recover it on the two, score a touchdown, Bills lose by three because of the wind, right?
Right.
Because it's constant. How's this not going to work out for the Bills, right?
Yep.
Why has the wind got to be a factor? You know, finally the Bills have built an offense where passing is the way to go. And what's going to happen? 50-mile-an-hour winds. It's like, why? Why couldn't this have been the issue with Tom Brady when he was slinging around for 400 yards a game?
But you know what's crazy? Is next week, next Sunday, they play the Seahawks. I've already looked. It's supposed to be like 55 and sunny as of right now.
Of course.
And of course. And that's when Russell Wilson comes to town, right?
Of course. Of course. Here's the thing, though. No matter what the weather is, look, they are better. And their roster, it's not close.
Right.
Their roster is so much better than the Patriots. The it's not the weather that worries me. It's Bill Belichick. Let's face it. I mean, he is just such a mastermind. And look, Sean McDermott, I don't feel like he gets out-coached, like, especially not on a regular basis. There are times when coaches who have been around get the best of them. Bill Belichick gets the best of everyone. Yeah. I mean, that's the reason he's got a fistful of rings. He's, to me, the guy that you go, man, they got to find a way just to not be prepared for everything. Because you and I both know Belichick is going to come up with something that they didn't prepare for. Maybe not didn't prepare for,
correct,
but didn't expect. Because Sean will have them prepared for everything.
That's right. But you're right about that. You're right. He does that every week. You remember Monday night a couple of years ago, he starts off with Cordarrelle Patterson as the running back. Like, wait a minute, he hasn't played running back all year. What is this?
Of course. I mean, would it surprise you if all of a sudden, because they lack so much talent at wide receiver, would it surprise you if all of a sudden they line two running backs up at wide receiver?
Nope.
Not at all, right?
Nope.
If suddenly they go, they just put two running backs in the slot with N'Keal Harry out wide.
And then as much as you may say, well, that's not going to scare you, it makes you think and it makes you do everything different. And like, how do you treat this? What do? It gets in your head. And then it becomes about Belichick. I will say, I think Sean McDermott did an excellent job in both games against them last year. I think the Bills outplayed and pretty much outcoached New England in 7 out of 8 quarters last year, and yet they lost both games.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just a matter of, to me, at some point that is getting over that final mental hurdle.
Yep.
That you not only deserve to be on the field with them, but that you're better than them. Like, to me, I mean, you're splitting hairs when you got two teams that are this talented and well coached. Then it just becomes, you got to believe that you're going to beat them, that you're going to be the team that makes the play at the end. And until you do it, there's always going to be that little sliver in the back of your head wondering that, you wonder if you can do it. Not to go too, keep going back to this, but talk to, you know, the beat guy in Boston. And I said, Do the Patriots feel like they can come to Orchard Park and win this game just because that's what they've done for two straight decades? And he said there's a little bit of that. He said they're always going to be confident, though, because they have Bill Belichick.
That's right. And they'll always they can beat anybody. Josh Reed, Channel 4, WIVB Sports Director. Josh, I want to ask you about the Browns because you have followed the Browns your whole life. And they're in a position right now where they're going to contend for the playoffs. I don't know about the division in the North. We'll see where that goes. You got a really good division there with the Ravens and Steelers especially. But a specific question on Wyatt Teller, because I've seen a lot of really nice things about Wyatt Teller. And I get people asking me, boy, did the Bills make a mistake trading Wyatt Teller? Look how good he is. You watch the Browns a lot. They do have John Feliciano coming back, and they do have some guard issues right now, Cody Ford being out. So I'll ask you, did the Bills make a mistake trading Wyatt Teller?
I mean, it sure looks like it. I mean, especially because, well, look, if Quentin Spain comes back this year and was the Quentin Spain we saw, you know, last season, and John Feliciano doesn't get hurt, and, you know, if all those pieces come back and they're good and they're healthy again, I don't think to second guess it. But because there's been the injuries and the flux along the Bills' offensive line, I think it's only natural to go, man, they hit another home run on a mid to late round pick.
Right.
And then they cut bait with them maybe a little too early. Wyatt Teller, the one thing, first of all, there are a couple things about him when he was here in Buffalo. He was a teammate favorite. His teammates loved him. And I mean, they really were tight with him. One of the guys he was really, really tight with was E. Wood. And one of the other things about
him, by the way, he was very tight with Josh.
Yes. And yeah, absolutely. And the other thing about him was he was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
He was nasty. And one of the things he's done for the Browns offensive line is he has improved their run blocking. And What have we seen? Well, I mean, right now, that's the one thing they could use. Now, with Feliciano coming back, they get that nastiness element back. And you hope to think that that maybe improves some of their run blocking. But Wyatt Teller, in fact, I was reading up on some of the Browns beat stuff and reading some of their articles online. There was an article, and it was well laid out and well thought out by one of the main beat people. And it said, who has missed more right now in the Browns running game, Nick Chubb or Wyatt Teller? Then laid it out that you could argue either. Nick Chubb came in second in the NFL in rushing yards last year. And to think that he wouldn't just be a runaway, no-brainer, and that Wyatt Teller's, they miss him that much, that says a lot about what he's done.
Is there any truth to the theory that Baker will be better without Odell?
I don't think, right? That can't look, I get it. Like, I get how you could look at it, but I think that we believe in the same philosophy on this. To me, you're never better without one of your best players, right? I mean, he's a game changer. Look, his stats were never going to be, you know, DeAndre Hopkins stats. They were never going to be that in Cleveland because that's not what they do. But look, I'm going to tell you right now, you know who keeps extra guys out of the box? Odell Beckham Jr. keeps extra guys out of
the
box.
Good point. Yep. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, now all of a sudden, you know what you're going to see with no Odell on the outside? You're going to see the safety sneaking up in the box. Now, Kareem Hunt's job gets tougher. Nick Chubb, when he finally returns from injury, his job gets tougher. Baker Mayfield's job gets tougher. There's a domino effect with that.
No doubt about it. All right, last couple of things before I let you go. First of all, trade deadline is Tuesday. I'll ask you about both teams, actually. The team you were just talking about, the Browns, because they're in a position where maybe they can make the playoffs for the first time. They have the longest drought going on right now. They took over the Bills, you know, after the Bills.
Yeah, you had to remind me, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, do they make a move, and do you think the Bills make a move?
I think both do.
Yeah.
Or let's put it this way. I think they both are aggressive in trying to. Whether or not that comes to fruition, you just never know. I think they'll both try. And you know, I'm obviously not around the Browns like I am the Bills. From an outsider of the Browns, they are terrible against the pass. I mean, yep. I'm talking there are only two teams worse than them against the pass. So I would think that they would look for secondary help, safety, cornerback, something along those lines. As far as the Bills go, we hear it all the time. Brandon Bean, he has said it since he got here. He is never going to stop trying to improve the roster. Right. How often do we see the tinkering on the last two guys in the roster, on the 53-man? Like, since he's landed, it's like, oh, you know what? I'll flip-flop this receiver for that tight end. Max, what's up, brother?
Josh said, what's up? He can't hear you because he's in my headphones right there. Hi, everybody. This is Max. Everybody see Max? Say hi, Max. Say hello. Max,
I think he needs to get Max in there to help him.
Bills or Patriots on Sunday? Bills or Patriots? You got to say it. Bills. All right. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what, Max? You can tell. Max asks me every week to ask everyone to subscribe to his YouTube channel. You can tell everybody right now. What's it called?
Max's Playdate.
Max's Playdate on YouTube. There you go. There you go, Max.
He's a star in the making.
He is, no doubt about it. All right, so I wanted to finish your thought there. You think the Bills also can make a deal here, and they might go out and try and make a deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Brandon has said it time and time again. He's always going to look to improve the roster, whether they're 2-5 or 5-2. And I think that – I do. I think Brandon's going to try to – I mean, position-wise, in the interior of the defensive line could use some help. And it just – it looks like they could use something there. Who knows? I mean – at this point, it wouldn't surprise me if he added any piece that improves that position group.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, so I always leave the show by talking about the Thursday night game. So since you're with me, we'll just do that. We got Falcons and Panthers tonight. Panthers are actually sneaky okay this year. I thought they'd be really bad, right?
They're sneaky okay, and Christian McCaffrey's played two games.
Right, that's right.
I know that because I drafted him first overall on my fantasy team and have been sitting there waiting patiently, if you will, for him to finally make his return.
He's not going to play tonight, though, apparently. I don't think
he is not. No, he's not going to play tonight. It looks like they're going to try to give him, you know, because now it's another 10 days until their next game. So they're going to give him that extra 10 days. And I mean, look, that's a team that's kept their head above water without their best playmaker and maybe the best playmaker in the NFL with Christian McCaffrey. They found a way to keep their head above water, and now he's going to come back, and they got a chance to make a run.
Speaking of finding a way, the only question might be tonight, how will the Falcons find a way to lose at the end? That might be the only question tonight.
That team
has surpassed the Chargers in most innovative ways to lose every single week.
That team, and it just every week, and they have got guys, like, when you look at their kind of three-headed monster with Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, and Julio Jones, you look at those three guys, that's a really good three. Like, those, you get those two wide outs and that quarterback, you should be able to win a ton of games.
No doubt.
And like you said, every week they find a different way to screw it up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, are these Panthers ready for prime time tonight? The spread is 1.5. You know what? I think the Falcons are going to keep this one close. I might even pick the Falcons to win. I think they've been right there. I think Raheem Morris, an interim coach, he brings a lot of energy to them. I'm going to go with the upset tonight. I'm going to take the Falcons to win on the road tonight.
I would too. I would too. As much as we sat here and said that the Panthers have found a way to tread water, like, I think you know how it is. Teams, when a head coach gets fired, you've seen a lot of that with the Bills and me being here in Buffalo a couple of years now and being a Browns fan growing up, we've seen head coaches change. There's always that instant burst of energy for the interim guy, new guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now that doesn't carry over long, but it's usually a couple of weeks worth of kind of juice and everything, because now you got guys who are playing for their jobs because they don't know if this interim head coach, in this case, Raheem Morris, is going to be the long-term guy. Now you might be playing for a job next year for this guy.
Yeah, Wes Saf says, trusting you guys, I just changed my pick. Be careful of that, just so you know. We're not giving any gambling advice here. If you lose, it's on you. I just want you to know that. All right, Josh, I got to get out of here. I'm going to put this hat on. I want you to tell everybody about this show right here and where everybody can find it and what's going on with it.
Yeah, so we do Buffalo Kickoff Live. Sal's a part of it, and he has been since day one, since we started the show. This is year five.
It's crazy.
Every year Sean's been here.
Uh-oh. So it's been four seasons. I just lost Josh. Hold on. Hopefully we can get him back. Josh, you just froze. There you go. Go ahead.
Are you there? Okay.
Yep, gotcha.
So this is the fourth year of Buffalo Kickoff Live. We go 11 to 11:30 on the CW WNLO. And then 11:30 to noon, we switch over to Channel 4 WIVB, the CBS affiliate in Buffalo. Now, that and I know that you have people who are across the country because you obviously you were down in Florida for a while. Yep. In fact, I saw somebody pop up and say, hey, somebody was out west and say it's so great. I forget. Did somebody say something from
Utah? Utah. I got a Hawaii in here a little while ago.
Yeah. So just so those people know, they can watch that first 30 minutes of the show on WIVB.com.
That
11 to 11:30 streams live right on WIVB.com. So if you want to check it out, we're talking for 30 straight minutes, previewing Bills Patriots. We do it every single Sunday, rain or shine. And Sunday, it is not going to be shine.
No, I'll be bundled up for sure. Yeah. And by the way, just so everybody knows, you can't stream the second part because of NFL rules. That's all.
There's NFL video, there's rights and stuff like that. So that's why we have to cut it off at 11:30, just because that first half hour, we do pictures. Second half hour, we do some video and stuff. We just can't do it there.
There you go. St. Catharines, Giancarlo.
There you go. That's awesome.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it. Josh, thank you. I'm going to head on out now and enjoy your night with Kennison and your lovely wife. And we're going to catch
you
up, and I'll see you on – if I don't see you at practice tomorrow, which I probably will, I'll see you on Sunday before the game on Channel 4 and the CW.
Absolutely. Awesome, Sal. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.
That is Josh Reed, WIVB Channel 4 Sports Director in Buffalo. I'm just going to wrap up the show now because we've gone longer than what we normally go. So, yeah, you can watch that Buffalo Kickoff Live right there. You can catch me on WGR tomorrow morning. I'll be on with Howard and Jeremy at 7 a.m. We'll be talking Bills. We'll be talking Patriots. We'll have the Bills game for you, of course, on WGR and along the Bills Radio Network. I'll be down there in the moat, bundled up, getting ready. You enjoy the game. Let's have a good one. It's a monster for the Bills against the New England Patriots on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Orchard Park. Thanks for coming aboard Sal Sports Live and the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast this week.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.